was running through my head. Can't get it out.
Yes. Yes, I keep hearing it too.
We shall have to give evidence, of course. Drink?
No, thank you, sir.
I've written it down exactly as it happened.
Will anybody believe that? In a court of law? I can hardly believe it myself.
I know. I'm going to publish it afterwards as an article.
Well, it will certainly cause a sensation.
I think I'll call it
Trespass by Emlyn Williams, with Glyn Owen, Patricia Mort, and Ray Smith.
Trespass. Crossing into forbidden territory.
That's what it was. You see, I'm a scientist before I'm a human being. And to me, the challenge of the few remaining secrets of the universe has always been irresistible. At Cambridge, I devoted to chasing the atom the single-mindedness most of my friends were applying to waitresses. The atom was a mystery. Now, no longer. And what is the greatest mystery of all? The most perfect secret kept by God and nature? The secret of the other world. The mystery of what happens after death. It's always irritated me to look at my psychic library, millions of words, jungles of syntax, and to consider that any half-witted servant girl fished out of the Thames knows more about life after death than all my books together. When Philip Henting died and his widow rang me up to tell me she was determined to get into touch with him, here I felt was the perfect chance for experiment. The atmosphere of an ancient castle in the middle of a lake, probably haunted.
Oh, it didn't look haunted the day I arrived to take up my job. I was rather pleasantly excited. It was a much better job than I'd ever dreamed of. Librarian at a castle. It seemed too good to be true.
And the daughter of the house to show you round. As pretty as they make her.
Well, that helped, I must confess. No, it didn't look haunted that day. A fine summer's afternoon. Sunshine everywhere. You could see the reflection of the water on the walls. It was impossible to believe that anything frightening could happen in such a place.
You see? It's not quite as grand as all that.
So this is Crithin Castle.
Yes. My father was the Earl of Crithin.
Which makes your mother the Countess.
She was till she married again. We're not awfully rich. It's mostly shut except for the gatehouse. Mother's just opening up the library.
You haven't got a title as well.
Only lady.
Well, how did your mother come to marry a band leader?
He wasn't a band leader. He conducted his own orchestra. There's a great social difference.
Well, he wrote some nice music. He died suddenly, didn't he?
He wasn't murdered. So if you build that up as a great mystery, you'll be disappointed.
Too bad.
He had a weak heart.
Very dull. Then, you didn't think much of him?
Lots of teeth, big smile. You know the sort, half mother's boy, half ladies' man. Oh, mind your head, it's a turret.
Oh, yes.
Except that he'd learned to speak the King's English and wrote good music. He wasn't very different from any band leader who ogles every woman on the floor. Wonderful dancer, of course. A week after she met him, she started lessons.
Was he in love with her?
She's always had a certain glamour. And she was a countess. He was no end of a snob. Mind your head.
Right.
This is the hall.
Why don't you and your mother get on?
We've just never had anything in common. We're completely different. Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Lady Gwanwyn, Mr. Folliard.
My name is Grice.
How do you do? You're waiting for my mother, are you?
My lady, if your ladyship, may I tender my sincere condolences on the Countess's, on Mrs., your mother's shocking bereavement.
Thank you. Is it to do with restoring the main gate?
No. Well, it's 4 months, of course, and time is a healer, but it takes time, doesn't it?
Time certainly does take time. What are you, then?
A mortician.
Come again?
My firm was in charge of the funeral arrangements.
Oh. Bill, I'll see about your room.
Yes, yes, right. So, you're an undertaker.
We in our family prefer the American term.
Why?
What is your calling, may I ask?
Librarian will do.
Yes, you undertake to dust a lot of books by Tom, Dick and Harry, and I undertake the burial of the dead. Are you called an undertaker? No. Well, why should I be?
Because you, take under, no?
A joke about my profession. I've heard them all. Is it true, Mr. Grice, that you get a good screw, but then you ought, the work makes you hoarse and starts you coughing? Well, I'm sick of the lot of them. It feels that much worse since the war. 5 years away, the freedom, the uncertainty, but you were a man.
What were you in?
Naffy, Lake Windermere.
You're drunk, aren't you?
Yes. I don't know what you mean. You won't put the Countess wise, will you?
I'll be a pal. What have you been drinking for?
Oh, I always feel the need when I've got something ticklish on.
What's on your mind?
Well, a wire from the Countess. I just can't make head nor tail of it. You see, a monument was ordered for the deceased. We deal also in memorial masonry.
On top of everything else. I follow you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realise there were visitors.
I'm here about the library and... This is Mr. Grice.
Countess, your ladyship.
Oh, good gracious, I'm not the Countess. I'm Mrs. Henting. I've just arrived on a visit. Oh, excuse me, not quite awake yet. I was on the Belvedere and I nodded off.
Mrs. Henting, are you, excuse me, the mother of...
Mr. Henting's mother who died, yes. Which makes the Countess Mrs. Henting too, of course... But it doesn't seem right, her not being still the Countess, does it? My Philip kept the Mr. too. Never understood why.
Mrs. Henting, may I prefer my deepest sympathy?
Oh, thank you. I am feeling better now. It's 4 months, but you never get tired of sympathy, do you? Oh, a wonderful career cut off. After me and his father sending him to college and everything. Oh, he was self-made, you know. Yes, dreadful.
Mrs. Henting, we tried to get into touch with you in London. It's about the monument.
Oh, yes. I am longing to see it.
Well, they tell me at the works it's nearly finished. All but half of one of the angles.
Oh, isn't that lovely? I was so afraid they might be rationed with everything so difficult. Both holding sort of harps, did you manage? It should have been pianos, but I quite saw that wouldn't be right. When I ordered the monument, did you...
Yes, you did order it, didn't you?
Oh, yes. His widow very kindly left it all to me. Though, of course, the bill was to be sent to her.
Yes, well, kindly read this telegram.
Oh, but she says, cancel monument.
And cost us already every penny of £250.
Oh, but she hasn't mentioned a word. A word?
Yes, Mrs. Henting?
Oh, and the harps have got the initials chipped into them. Gwen, have you any idea what's behind it?
This telegram.
My mother is not an ordinary woman, Mrs. Henting.
Oh, we all know that, dear. But this isn't in the least like her. You know, I hadn't seen her since before he died, not until today. She didn't come to the funeral, you see. And I was saying to the maid how splendidly she's borne up.
No, she didn't come to the funeral. Do you remember another thing? When they rang her in London to tell her he was dead, she refused to come down and identify the body. She behaved as if it hadn't happened.
I had to do it.
Crithin Castle?
And yet at lunch I thought how wonderfully she's got over it.
I'll get her.
We talked about Philip having died, well, several times.
Oh, you mean you did? Every time you mentioned it, she changed the subject. Mother?
Did she? Oh, but she's so calm and sensible.
It's the Women's Institute.
destitute.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, she's as keen on her committees as ever she was. I mean, well, she's the last woman in the world to mismanage anything.
Yes. I don't suppose she's ever had one plan go wrong that she couldn't put right herself. And did.
Thank you, my dear. This is a pile of 24 typewritten letters, I'd have you know. My index finger's worn to the bone. That's what comes of employing a secretary in London. Oh, Mrs. West. Oh, I'm sorry about the meeting, but I'm expecting two people on important business. Well, did you hold the welfare subcommittee? I know what you're going to ask me, my dear. Miss Jones's baby. Well, it's no good our making an exception just for her. I know I was the one to suggest the grant, but that was in 1942, and this is her third. She must be discouraged. Tell her it's habit-forming. What else on the agenda? Oh, yes, Mrs. Morris. I think she's more for the doctor than the vicar, poor thing. If she's lost her husband, she's lost him, and it's time she started looking round. I know it's hard, but it's common sense. Goodbye.
Christine, Mr. Grice is here about your telegram cancelling the monument.
I object to the inscription.
The inscription? Oh, but I made it up myself. It took me a day. It says, they're gone forever, forgotten never. Oh, I am sorry.
Would it be impertinent if I asked you why you object?
Not at all. I object because it's not true.
But we've cut it into the stone. Thou gone forever.
Yes, gone forever. Cut into the stone, letter by letter, till the end of time. I won't have it.
I'll pay for it, of course, and I'm sorry to have wasted your time.
Yes, but...
Perhaps, in fairness, I should explain. My husband and I have been married for 7 years. 16 weeks last Tuesday, while I was in London, at 11 in the evening... In that chair, something happened to him. I won't say he died, because I want to avoid a sentimental and misleading word. He was called away. He's been away for 4 months. He's desperately anxious to get in touch with me as I am with him. There is no way known to science in which this can happen, and I am determined to discover one.
Christina, I never knew you were... Are you a spiritualist?
I've got something to say.
Yes?
I'm sorry.
What have you got to tell me?
Not to go on with this.
I beg your pardon. Who is this man?
He was in charge of the funeral arrangements, Christine, and called about the monument.
Most fellows in my line of work don't see a thing weird in it. It's a job like selling tea. But I'm not like that. Now, I know this is out of place, but... Shall I tell you why every time I have to set eyes on a corpse,
I have to have
a drink first? One day, when I was a kid, I was waiting for my father. I got lost down some steps and went off to sleep. When I woke up, it was moonlight and there were rows of people sort of dozing off. I got on a chair and looked down on one. I thought, funny, he doesn't sleep on his side. Then I saw he was looking straight up at me. I was only 8, but I knew he was dead. It was a mortuary. Who are you, they were all saying, as plain as plain. Get out, this is private, get out. But nothing in their eyes. They're more empty than beads. As empty as that chair. And that empty thing they've got. Not to disturb it.
The boat's in!
The visitor? Lionel?
I just finished my dinner. Oh, my eyes. Both eyeballs feel as if they've been lightly sprinkled with pepper and salt.
You haven't been studying those papers all these hours.
I wanted to sort out my data before our gentleman arrived so as to get some kind of picture of him. Do you realize he's the 12th in 2 months, not counting the letters we didn't answer? I never knew there were so many in Europe.
So many what?
Mediums. Large and small, manifestations of speciality, manifestations barred, with or without astral smells.
I wonder what we're in for this time. Can you see anything of him from the window?
Yes. Yes, his lady friend is trying to pilot him through the main door, but he's shaking his head and getting her to go first.
Does he look promising?
Well, sort of ordinary. Tyrolean touch to the jacket, black hat, hobnailed boots.
Nana, what's your verdict on him?
On paper, the most promising up to now.
Oh, you don't mean it.
Geneva seance, a tested visual phenomena for which no explanation, even by auto-suggestion, hits a corner of the front page all over Europe.
I remember. Wasn't it the ghost of a drowned woman he's supposed to have brought out of the lake?
Near enough, and surprisingly well corroborated. Seance marked by prostration amounting to catalepsy, mouth clenched as in lockjaw. On being partially revived by his manager, Mrs. Amos...
Mrs. Amos!
Oh, Countess! Oh, what a nice house you've got. A castle, rather. Oh, I'm very fond of anything artistic. Oh, excuse me.
Un momenti. Keep him amused on the stairs for a tick, will you, love? Just make a few signs. He's very quick.
I always have to prepare people. You see, he's psychic and foreign, and the two together is some handful.
In what way?
Well, he won't talk. Oh, on his home ground, I've known him say yes and no in his own lingo, but, well, now he's playing away, he just won't utter. And when he wants to get out, he just yawns in your face. But nice about the house. But I thought I'd better warn you. All right, Countess.
Mrs. Amos, this is...
Oh, good evening, everybody.
I'd have got our little motorboat to meet you, but as you were coming by car...
Oh, we had a very nice drive. One of those Rolls-Royce hire cars, you know, and then we hired a rowing boat. Oh, very nice. Now, just...
While I remember, I can't let you pay for the rowing boat.
Oh, you know, Countess, please, I've done the whole thing.
But I must...
Don't you bother your head. I had it all put down to your account, and the car. Oh, it is a nice house. Just bring him up, dear. I'm trying to soup, petit. Now, you sit down there, dear. Introductions are just a waste of time, everybody, so just carry on as if he wasn't here, poor chap.
Sherry?
No, ta. Now, I do like to be what I call cut and dried. Any questions? Oh, and don't take any notice of anything he does. He'd never been inside a nice house till I took him up.
How did you take him up?
Oh, in the street. In Italy. He's an Italian peasant, you see. Oh, very Italiano. Saviello, his name is. He's a riot. Mind you, I did have to have his feet brought round electrically once. Catalepsy, you know. What happened to Lazarus? You have asked Mr. Henting's mother, haven't you?
Yes, she's here.
Oh, good, good. The blood tie and another mind straining to get through it. It all helps.
Yes. Well, you'd like to see your rooms and relax before dinner. I'll take you up.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure it'll be a nice room, too.
In fairness to you, Mrs. Amos, I must tell you who this gentleman is.
Oh, yes.
He's Lionel Dewar. The scientific investigator.
Well, isn't that nice? As I say, science is great. Now, come along, dear. You must be very...
What's the matter? What's he staring at?
The armchair. I can feel it myself. There's something odd about that armchair. He feels it too. Do you see? Now, you come along, dear. This way, Countess. Oh, thank you.
She had cleared the first hurdle.
With a foot to spare.
I watched him carefully all next day and got nothing from him. Did you?
Not a thing. He just seemed to be lolling about, pretending not to understand any English. But when Christine put on her husband's music, she kept on playing it, do you remember? I thought I detected a feeling of vague uneasiness in him, a sort of strain. I could understand it as I listened. Couldn't you? It had a sort of threatening beat to it. Got on my nerves. I was quite glad when dinner was over, and it looked as if we might settle down to business.
Manuscript shelf beautifully.
Oh, thank you. I'm afraid I can't get any further with the Criffin papers without reference to the British Museum.
Oh, then perhaps you'll go up for a day or two next week. I take it he hasn't rung his bell yet.
Oh, yes.
He has.
He's ready.
Oh, dear. Good. So are we.
Look, are you sure you wouldn't like me to...
No, no. If you've got an open mind, you'll be useful. Eh, Lionel?
Certainly.
Now, come on down, dear. Take his other arm. Would you mind, Mr. Dewar?
Why is he wearing a bandage?
It's a matter of concentration, you see. No, not in that chair, dear. First of all, Countess, nobody must telephone in the next hour.
Of course.
Once a chap like him gets off, the phone might put paid to him.
Alwyn, I'm not accepting any calls for the next hour. That's quite clear, isn't it? No calls of any sort. Good night.
Now, I'll dish out the quick pep talk first, just to break the ice. Now, this is a ticklish business, and it's up to you people. Forget all about screams and ghosts and all that medieval stuff. That superstitious nonsense, that is. The other side is waiting. Waiting for you here to hold out your arms, as it were, far enough over the gulf to touch the fingertips of them reaching over. Only don't overbalance or you'll come a cropper. I like to bring in a little joke. I can't stand the weird stuff. I mean, why not be homely with our loved ones, eh? Next slide, please. Look at him now, thinking. She's a funny little thing, and anything less like psychic. But just because I've got both feet on the ground is no reason why I can't have my head where other people can't reach. Sink your prejudice, gentlemen, and concentrate on this fellow here. With him, I've found it's best to cut out table turning and rely on what we call direct speech from you through him. I'll just give him this pencil, just in case he wants to jot something down, you never know. And a little less light on the subject. Not for weirdness, but so you can concentrate. Can't stand weirdness.
Oh, isn't it dark? Are you all right?
Yes. Now, I want you both to think of Philip Henting. I want you to float into yourselves, off to sleep. Sleep. A man named Philip Henting, who for 40-something years breathed and laughed and talked. See him as you knew him, sitting in that chair, looking at you. I could put one of his records on, but no need. I feel the room full of the music that was the man, the music that is the man. You are on a cloud. Jettison those other thoughts. Philip Henting. Reach out. Further. Further.
Phil. It's Mum. Phil,
this is wrong.
Silence, please. Phil. It's Mum. Phil. Thoughts have got a shape. Just as much as things have the strong thoughts of two women. The thoughts hit the air, and the air carries the thoughts to a place we know nothing of. Just thoughts, Phil. You just ran in from the farm with your knees dirty, bread and butter halfway to your mouth, and me playing the piano and you beating time on the arm. He'll go in for music. Nice straight nose, but you'll have to have a brace for those teeth, my boy. Phil. He's reaching over. Phil. It's Mom. This is wrong. It's horrible and wrong. Prejudice is of no avail, for the influence is in the room. Thoughts. Thoughts. Something is coming through.
Phil.
There's nothing.
Hello. But you were told not to ring through. Oh. Oh, there must be some mistake. Sorry.
She hadn't rung. Thoughts. The King of England. Why should a thought of the King of England be in the air? Philip, do you remember a tiny incident at the Royal Command performance when you conducted your waltzes?
Hang on to that. If that thought floats in your mind, it's meant to.
When the applause died down, you turned and winked at me, and people thought it was meant for the Royal Box.
Hang on to it. Now, what is he wearing?
Both you and the orchestra in white tie and tails. You holding a baton.
Hang on to it. You smiled back.
I shook my head. I was embarrassed.
But under that thought, like peeling an onion, there's another thought. Speak it.
Out of this crowd, you single me out. A message between your eyes and my eyes. That can never be altered.
White tie and tails, holding a baton. Hang on to that. The room's filling up with it. Hang on.
Philip.
Wait a minute. Wait, there's your pencil. He's writing something. You've just written something, dear. I'll read it out. Oh, where are my glasses?
Carol?
What's that?
Carol? Carol? Oh. No?
Doesn't sound like Italian. Try and draw it. I'll keep this. Maybe something good. Oh, he's drawing a flower. Rose? Tulip?
Hello? Hello?
Wait a minute. Garofano. Isn't that the Italian for camellia or carnation or something?
Ovano.
Camellia? Carnation?
A white carnation.
Ah.
Holding a baton. White tie, tails, and white carnation. I gave it to him earlier at the flat. I'll pin it in myself while you finish your Cointreau, darling. Your favourite drink. You look as though you're going to burst into song.
That's it. And now, what does he say?
You say, let's hope not. There's never been a composer yet who could sing.
He's fainted.
No, it's all right. It's just all bearing down on him at once.
Brandy?
No, I think one of those shock pills I had prescribed. Oh, bother. They're upstairs. Now, don't let go. And whatever happens, don't touch him. Hang on.
Lionel, please put a stop to it. Please.
We can't. It's gone too far.
Shh. Lift up the lapel. Smell the carnation.
He's coming too.
He's coming to look at the armchair. Stop him.
Stop him looking at the armchair.
We can't. It's gone too far. We can't.
There's nothing in the chair. The chair is empty and he knows it. The chair's empty. Do you hear?
The chair's empty. But look at the stairs.
There's somebody standing on the stairs.
Philip. You can see him, Lionel, can't you? Can't you?
Yes, I can.
But it isn't Philip.
White tie, tails.
Holding a baton.
And a white carnation. Look, he's lifting his arm. I can't bear it. Hold her back. Hold her back.
Oh, don't you go near. Now you've gone and done a terrible thing. Don't you go near.
She's turned everything out from the switch upstairs.
Oh, where's the switch in this room?
I'll find it. Wait a minute.
Oh, I knew it wasn't Philip. I knew.
I've got him, whoever he is. Light somebody. Oh, that's better.
What is it?
He's fallen down. I heard him fall.
It's a dead man. Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. I'll turn him over. Here goes.
Oh, but what is it?
Well, he's not dead. But he's not a man either.
It's a dummy. A wax dummy. I'm sorry, Mother. You all right?
Perfectly.
Well, Saviello, what have you got to say to this?
Oh, I'll give him Saviello. Oh, you naughty little beast, messing me up with dummies. You would have it, wouldn't you? And where's it got us? Me practising with them wires for hours on end and then making a fool of myself. Now, where have your daft ideas got us? Oh, I could kill you.
Isn't it rather unkind when he hasn't understood a word you've said?
That's where you made a big mistake. I'm telling you now. And I'm going to tell you a lot more, too, that I've been bursting to get off my chest for the past 18 months.
I think perhaps you'd
better... Ladies and gentlemen, I know this will knock you over with a feather, but I'm not continental in the least. I'm Welsh, and I'm not a peasant, neither. I'm just as much in the upper classes as anybody. I got my own shop in Cardiff. Look, I'll tell you the whole thing in a nutshell.
Don't you dare insult me in public. I'll have the law on you.
You pipe down for two ticks. Now it's my turn. There I am in Cardiff, sitting pretty in a drapery business, with a wife and a little girl, to the both of which I'm devoted, and the chance of working up to be chairman of the Drapers Association. And what happens? Along comes this adventuress, who gets the idea I got psychic powers, if you please, and nothing will do but for me to be a medium. But I can't be a Welsh medium. Oh, no. There's no money in it, see? For the spirits turn out to be as much snobs as anybody else. No, I've got to be Italian, if you please. I never open my lips except to yawn. And I've got to act uncouth to a degree. Well, you can imagine how I've suffered, see? But I had to think of the money. And then I thought, well, it'll enable me to see a bit of the world and fair play. I don't mind making myself agreeable to her as a travelling companion. You know what I mean? If she expects that sort of thing, like. Well, what happens? I open her bedroom door and she knocks me flat out with a clothes brush. Everywhere we go, this English spinster.
I am a married woman.
Well, you're a spinster to me. Everywhere we go is table turning here and jettison those other thoughts there and get on that cloud the other side is waiting. I stuck it for 18 months, purely for the money. But this time I thought, well, I'm near enough to home now to feel very homesick. And if this Johnny Boyer don't land us in the cart, it won't be my fault. I don't like living rooms on this scale. I want to get back behind my counter where I belong. Thank you. I feel better now.
Yes. Well, it's too late for the two of you to leave tonight. You'd better go to bed. And I'll send a check down to you first thing in the morning. The gardener will take you over. Don't you agree, Lionel? Oh. Oh, he's gone. I didn't see him go out. I think I'll go to bed. Good night.
Poor Christine.
I'm not... Poor Christine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Never let me hear you say that again.
No, she hadn't seen me go. I'd gone downstairs while the lights were out.
And you came back up into the room after you saw what you saw.
Yes. You'd all gone to bed. All except the little Welsh medium. He was lying on the sofa in a shaft of moonlight. He looked innocently asleep. But I knew it was something deeper than sleep.
A sort of trance.
I drew up a chair and sat carefully opposite him. He opened his eyes and looked at me. You speak English?
I do. Didn't you hear me?
I was called away.
Oh. Well, I'm Welsh. And what's more, I'm not a medium. When were you called away?
Now, about the time that dummy was knocked sideways. The others were too engrossed in it to notice anything, but I'd spotted the wires and I was looking elsewhere. And I was called away in the dark.
By?
No, by a sort of cry. I followed downstairs to the main door.
And there you stood, in the light of the moon, and you smoked a pipe.
That's a thing I do when I'm nervous. How do you know I was smoking a pipe?
I can see the pipe now, sticking out of your pocket.
I left it on the sill downstairs. I know what your game is.
Game?
You happen to possess a certain power. A power which you've always mistrusted and never even admitted to yourself. So much so that even to yourself you play the part of a fake medium. But you're not a fake.
Now listen to me for a minute, will you? Look, I want you to imagine a field of grass. How many blades in that field? Thousands, aren't there? All identical. Throughout the length and breadth of Wales, there are thousands of human beings. All identical. And one of these is me. And I'm so like any other Tom, Dick or Harry that in a crowd you couldn't tell me from any other men.
And when you're tied to a chair in Geneva and things happen around you that puzzle the scientists so much so that it's in the paper next day, is that like Tom, Dick or Harry?
Oh, that's a lot of nonsense, that is. Look here. 10 minutes ago on these stairs, you saw a ghost, didn't you? Last Friday in Soho, that Mrs. Amos was sitting in the sun sewing a button on the waistcoat, and I was polishing the eyes.
The glass eyes of a ghost.
You said it.
If you're so ordinary, will you do something for me?
What?
Go to the window behind me and look out of it. It's moonlight, and you can see down the walk beside the lake as far as the herb garden.
It's a man who died in that chair, isn't there?
He does not move. Absolutely still. As still as the statues casting their shadows over the garden. He's looking up at this window. He has no shadow. Will you go to the window and look out of it?
He's in my head. It's got to come out. It's got to. Oh, God, help me to get it out. Please, God, please.
Gone. I can feel he's gone. Now, will you please look out of that window? Gone?
Yes.
And I'm off to bed.
And in the morning?
I'm off back to my shop.
Good morning, my lady. I've finished sweeping later.
Exchange?
Excuse me, my lady.
Yes?
In the middle of the night, me and my father, we heard something.
What?
The gramophone.
Oh, yes. I couldn't sleep, and I came downstairs.
Oh.
I forgot this window was open, and you're right opposite. I'm so sorry. Exchange? Get my secretary, will you? You know the London Welbeck number. Oh, it's a lovely morning. The statues want the hosepipe again. Will you remind your father?
Yes, my lady.
Is Mr. Dewar down yet?
Not yet, my lady.
But tell your father the visitors are leaving on the 11:30, will you?
Yes, my lady. He's taking me over for shopping anyway.
Oh, of course, Friday. Don't forget about the statues.
No, my lady.
Hello? Oh, Francis. No good, I'm afraid. Rather amusing in the end. On the contrary, I'm more determined than ever. Will you interview all the three by when I come up on Thursday? The older woman sounded promising. What? No, I'm all right. Yes, determined. Goodbye. Good morning.
Good morning, Countess. What a lovely day. You slept well, I hope?
Perfectly, thank you.
Oh, I am glad.
I was afraid you might be upset about our little hitch.
I should have thought you'd be the one to have had a sleepless night.
Oh, I dreamt about my little girl being presented at court. It was lovely.
Perhaps she will be. Let's hope it's the right kind of court. Are you planning for her to follow in your footsteps?
She might. Her teacher was telling me on the phone. That child's very receptive, she said.
Are you sure she didn't say deceptive?
No, I don't think so. There's money in it, you know.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Here's your cheque.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
What made you embark on it?
The profession, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, I always had a bit of a flair for acting, and I saw in a trice that this would be steadier than the stage. Would you mind putting pay cash? Just a formality. Here's a pen.
But you've got a bank.
It's so they can't trace the income tax. Just a formality.
Here you are.
Thank you. I mean, it wouldn't seem right, would it? Umpteen bobbin pound on the other world.
Except that you don't believe there is another world.
Oh, but I do. This chap isn't a fake, you know. I am a fake, but he isn't. I mean, look at your Christian name coming through last night.
My name?
Aye, he wrote it down and I put it away. Don't you remember? And then that damned dummy put the tin hat on it.
Oh, he could have heard Mr. Dewar call me Christine.
No, it's one of your other names.
Oh? Dorothy, is it? Or Helen?
No. Oh, here it is.
Oh, thank you.
And I thought it must be one of them.
P-I-C-C-O-L-A. Piccola.
Well, I know it sounds a funny name, but, well, with you being a countess, I thought...
But it's not a name. It's just an Italian word. I'm afraid your little counter-jumper's got into a muddle with some other client. Come in.
Oh, Countess, I should just like to tell you that I'm from a very quick-tempered part of the world. Last night I was out of control, and I spoke my mind on your property beyond the bounds of courtesy. This morning I'm as happy as a lark, and it is my privilege to apologise to you with these flowers. Not because you got blue blood by marriage, but because you are of the female sex.
Thank you.
But they're from her own garden.
It makes them all the nicer. Are you happy because you're going home?
I've been away for 18 months and 3 days. Of course, they got no idea I've been doing anything fishy. I told them I'd gone into dog racing. They'll be all waiting for me in the station. My wife, my little girl, the neighbours, you lot.
Where do you live?
In Cardiff.
Ah, yes.
In a big block of flats with a beautiful view over the Civic Centre.
What?
It's got every modern convenience. Excuse me, I'll go and finish my packing.
You know, I think he lies for the love of it. He lives in a suburb down by docks. A lot of shacks with not a green thing in sight. Hideous dump.
Dump is very vulgar speech, and right out of my grasp.
I've heard you grasp vulgarer speech than that in both fists.
Hey, you're very unwise to insult me now, you know, because I'm not a half-witted Italian anymore, but a local man with a gift of the gab. Excuse me, Countess.
You made the whole thing up. It's the most awful nonsense.
Now, cross my heart, you never saw it. Oh.
You haven't been playing tennis. Well, it seems rather early.
Such a heavenly morning, we thought it would be fun.
Good idea. Some letters for you, Mrs. Amos.
Oh, thank you, love.
What was the joke?
Bill was describing someone he shared digs with. Wouldn't be funny, repeated.
Go on, you sometimes make me feel 80. And don't look so sorry for me. You know how I loathe it.
I'm sorry, Mother.
I'll finish my letters in the study.
I'm just no good with her, that's all.
Oh, she's still upset. Isn't it a shame? Oh, here's a card from my Maureen. Thanks for chocks. Miss Guest wants to cut my girls off. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Why, Miss Guest will do no such thing. A lovely head of hair that child's got.
Mother looked as though she hadn't slept a wink.
Just goes to prove what I say. Folk have no business to dabble in the occult.
But if they insist, you're there to guide their fingers into the pie.
That's right. Oh, that Welsh thing makes me sick.
What's he done now?
Why, here's a letter from two sisters in Eastbourne. They're asking us to go down to get in touch with an uncle. He passed over in 1910 on a faulty motorcycle. Hey, it's a lovely address too, in a parade. And him, off to that stinking gasometer. Oh, well, I'll have to write and tell them he's lost the knack. See you later.
Piccolo?
Piccolo? Who told you?
It's written on this bit of paper. She left it behind on the sofa, look.
It's what he wrote down last night.
First thing that came into his head, I expect. Well, what is it?
I think I may have overdone it, that last set. I'll go and change.
Why did you say, who told you?
Did I?
Why can't you tear yourself away from this house?
Go away? The sun's gone, hasn't it?
Why can't you leave this house? You've never breathed it to a soul, have you? But you're going to tell me because, A, you can trust me, and, B, nothing in the world has ever shocked me. Now, spill the words out like a telegram.
The wedding party. I was 16. He was a bit drunk and made a point of getting me into a corner. I was rude and walked away. But something down my spine, like a spider, just weaving, taking its time.
I'm guessing now. You avoided him for years.
Four. Till I was 20.
Then one night, a knock at the door of your flat.
He was smothered in yellow roses. I shut the door in his face.
But it was exciting.
Yes, it was exciting. Back next night, more yellow roses. Then every Tuesday, supposed to be rehearsing for his radio program. 15 Tuesdays. Then Venice, he was supposed to be on a cruise. London again.
How long?
3 years. Till he died.
And starting from the Venice trip, he called you Piccola.
When we were absolutely alone.
Did you love him?
It was hate as well. And shame.
Did he mention her?
Not once. She might never have existed. One day I found a wire from her. Come, Crithin, urgent.
You thought she'd found out?
Well, people in the carriage kept looking at me. I couldn't keep still. I got here to find him.
Nobody else?
She'd gone up to London for a committee. He'd given both servants a night away and sent the wire. Standing against that desk. Cointreau in his hand. He loved Cointreau. He and this house. I suddenly felt sick, but he just laughed. More drink and turned into a vile, exciting nightmare, he in this house. He leant over and kissed me. He was so near that his eyes looked like one great coal. I could feel his hot breath. Then, out of nothing, knocking, a hammer slow at first and then a gallop.
His heart.
Every word we said after that has got stamped on my brain. He said, why in God's name have you shut all the windows? Is it a mild sort of joke? I said, they're open. Anyway, what sort of joke was that telegram? He said, it felt close for a split second. Piccola, let's have a swizzle of Cointreau. I got up to fetch it. I thought he was right. Sit down here, he said all of a sudden. Never mind the creases in your dress. And pulled me down again. Into that chair. His face was grey. And he whispered, so near it boomed right through my head. He said, do you know any reason why you shouldn't belong to me for the rest of your life? Then he looked at me. A terrible tugging look. And his head fell sideways. mouth open. Right at the back, a gold filling. It was quiet, like when the clock stopped. Dead quiet. The last thing he'd said was swirling round the room like smoke. You belong to me for the rest of your life. I washed glasses, as if I'd done a murder. Took the boat and slept in the woods. Since the day he was buried, she has been in this house, straining every nerve to bring him back. Perhaps to tell her. Tell her something she must never get to know. Never. Now do you understand why I had to be here? You know. I'm not the only one any longer. Not in this chair.
Yes, in this chair. Now listen to me carefully. He has a fearful hold on you. But I'm a man too. And I happen to be alive. Oh, I'm not ashamed of wishing that you and I were as alone in here now as you two were that night. I'm going to kiss you. But it'll be much more than that to me. And to you. And to anybody else who may be looking on. Because you and I are alive. What time is the train?
There's 11:20, but they'll be on that. In 10 minutes, he'll be gone. Thank God.
Come on. Come on into the garden, out of this place. We'll take the picnic luncheon and be back in time for the late train. Then the midnight to London.
We?
You and me.
Well, I ought to stay with her.
She'll have Jewel. He's better for her than anybody else.
Better for her than anybody else. The irony of that, as it turned out. The interview with her, which I'd been dreading all night. Get it over with, I thought. The sooner the better.
Breakfast, Lionel.
Not for a minute, thank you, my dear.
I've had a promising answer from that schoolmaster in Dorset, insisting that he's an accredited medium.
I shouldn't bother.
Oh? Only you said leave no stone.
I've been awake most of the night. Christine, I don't want to sound heartless, but we've had no results at all. Is there any point in going on?
You've lost interest.
You love this man. He's been torn from you by death. A form of spiritual amputation for which we might by now have invented some sort of anesthetic, but there it is. You're not an old woman. You have wit and the widest interests. It's the law of nature that everything must renew itself. If it doesn't, it festers. Start again.
Lionel, this is a complete volte face. I can't believe this is you. What's happened?
That's no use, I've got to tell you. Christine, last night wasn't what it seemed.
No. Then it wasn't the most humiliating I've ever endured.
She's a fraud, all right, but he's not.
Then why did he insist he was?
Because he's frightened of it.
Frightened? Of something that might make him thousands of pounds?
You can't understand his being frightened, can you?
No, I can't. Because I know there is an explanation for everything. You said that to me yourself.
Last night I saw something for which the human mind has no explanation.
Nonsense!
You're saying nonsense to a man who's been fighting in the cause of sense for a quarter of a century. Who swears to you that this little shopkeeper is the most powerful natural medium ever known to science.
What happened?
I found myself walking down these stairs. Nothing on earth could have kept me back. And outside,
you saw,
standing in that archway,
looking up at this window.
Yes.
Oh, he'll come back. Tonight. Oh, I said it could be done, didn't I, Lionel? We're on the edge of discovery. I must have them ready. all the things I want to say. Philip's waiting for me. I can talk to him. I'm here, my darling. I'm here.
Christine.
Yes?
We are on the edge of discovery, and nobody's more excited than I. But I must remind you, it's an edge that falls away into a precipice.
No, no. You're not sure of yourself.
No. No, after last night, I'm not sure. But that's not the point. I myself will go through with this because nothing could kill my sort of curiosity. I'm thinking of you.
What makes you imagine anything could kill what's driven me into this?
We've joked about your lack of imagination, haven't we? We've got to face it. You conceive this as within the bounds of human understanding.
Why shouldn't it be?
That's what I mean. You visualize Philip as you knew him, don't you? Sitting opposite you, almost chatting. Christine, it isn't quite that.
But you saw Philip in our garden because he knew I'm waiting for him. You saw him looking up at this window. I can never forget it.
Neither can I.
Why do you say it like that?
Because I'm thinking of his eyes. Christine, I swear it was not a look you'll be happy to see.
He was wondering why I wasn't at the window. He often had that look at breakfast when a letter wasn't what he expected.
All right, you.
You're going to stop the Welshman catching that train, aren't you, Lionel?
For your own sake, I can't.
You're a scientist, and for years you've been consumed with curiosity over pretty nearly the only key left that refused to turn for you. Suddenly, it's turned, and you don't want to open the door.
Of course I want to, more than anything in my whole life. But as a scientist, too, I face any fact that may suddenly be brought home to me. In this case, the fact that this is a door you should not open.
Lionel, you and I are going to open it together.
No.
Now you've mentioned our sad little idyll, Lionel, my old friend. Did you realize why I turned you down?
But what has that to do with...
Everything. I turned you down because I was what you doctors have a horrid word for. Frigid. My first marriage was pitiable. When I met my Philip, he was something I'd never known. We became ridiculous and young together. Things like when he suddenly arrived from a concert up north, 3 o'clock in the morning. He'd broken a florist's window and was smothered in yellow roses. Physically, I lived for the first time. Any day he was away, as surely as he was thinking of me, I was thinking of him. Do you remember his nickname for me, Madam Chairman? Well, once I was speaking at Caxton Hall on equal pay. You know how I've always felt about that. And I heard his voice at the side. It flashed through my mind then. If anything happens to him, I can't live. And I can't, Lionel. There's no moment, waking or sleeping, when his image isn't firmly lodged across my mind. And he's waiting outside this house, waiting for me to let him in. And you're threatening to send him away. Now, if you do, I don't think I can bear it. Help me. For God's sake, Lionel, help me. Help me. Help me.
All right.
Thank you.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, good morning.
Excuse me asking, but the boat won't take more than 20 minutes to get back to the other side, will it?
15, I should say. It's a motorboat.
Oh, that's good. Excuse me. Can I ask you 2 questions?
Do.
Something in this garden puzzles me.
Oh, yes?
A plant, very long, covered in long leaves.
Corn on the cob. It comes from America.
Ah. I had the idea to take a few cuttings back for my wife. She's a very keen gardener.
Oh. What's your other question?
The name of your tailor.
Graham Maundy. Why?
I thought I'd copy the cut and show the model in a big window I'm planning to buy for my shop.
Have you enough money to buy a big window?
Since I've been in this racket, I've saved up £174.04. Gray Maundy. Hey, she's going to be late. The spinster Amos, I'll call her. Will you excuse me?
Will you stay till tomorrow?
No.
I'll be here.
No.
You're planning a bigger window, aren't you?
The shop will be terrible small for the big window, but the big window will cut a bit of a dash locally.
Surely, oughtn't you to knock down the side walls and enlarge? What have you got on each side?
On each side? Sort of derelict huts.
Wouldn't they be rather useful?
Hey, you've said it. On one side I could show the stuff, and on the other side I'd store it.
And a van?
And a dress for my wife, and a doll's house for my little girl, and two assistants that would kill the local competition stone dead. Oh, it's very nice in the imagination, isn't it? Hey, that's a boat. She's going to be late. I'll call her. Excuse me.
Just a minute.
What is it, sir?
A check. You take it to the bank in London, and they will give you a packet of pound notes. 500.
500?
You enlarge the shop, buy a small van, engage two assistants, and eliminate your competitor.
£500?
If you stay in this house till tomorrow.
Oh, I'm so sorry to keep everybody, but I thought whilst I had the chance, I'd wash me brush and comb. Oh, and I've been up hill and down dale after my knitting, and I can't find it anywhere. Well, there's my case. You ready?
£500. Van. Two assistants. I'm staying till tomorrow.
Oh?
I want to pick his brains. He's a very clever man.
Oh. Well, I'll just have to carry it myself. Come to the hotel the day after tomorrow and I'll settle up what I owe you. Oh, here's my knitting. Oh, I am glad. You see, it's a muffler for Maureen in a school colours. Well, goodbye all. Chin chin, everybody.
I've won.
What a game.
Out for three.
Well, I've never known anybody pick up Coon Khan so quickly. 7, 18, carry the one. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Shall I add it up for you? 17, 28, 43, 3 and 2 are 5.
Oh, you enjoy figures, don't you?
3 and 2 are 5. That was true when everybody on earth was living in the top of trees. And it'll be true when the sea will be dry. 3 and 2 are 5.
Wouldn't it be funny if one day you found it came to 6?
Don't go back today.
But what's the matter?
Stay with me, will you?
But what is it? Are you ill?
Stay with me.
Oh, I can't. I've got a Scotty to feed, and the charwoman's going to a wedding tomorrow. But why don't you come to London with me?
Oh, he's paid me a lot of money, and I've got to stay.
But you're a fake medium. You said so yourself.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yes?
Just to you. When you were by yourself, are you happy?
Oh, I get lonely sometimes. When my wireless goes wrong.
No, I mean, when the door of your house shuts and you hear the echo of people's feet dying away down the road, are you happy?
I must say, I often think, isn't it nice to put my feet up?
Oh.
What about you?
When I'm alone, it's different. Because one thing makes me not like any other man or woman. The secret I'm going to tell you now is a secret that I've never told even to my wife, because it's a shameful thing. It's like a birthmark on your face. When I was a little boy, and I was ever alone, I wasn't alone.
What do you mean?
In the corner of the room, there was something watching me. And that's been going on ever since. It hasn't got the shape of a man, this thing. And he doesn't move. He's waiting.
Waiting for?
I don't know what he's waiting for. But I got to fight. If I don't fight, this thing will...
You mean it tries to get inside your head?
That's why I've got to fight, see? Sometimes, when I don't feel very well, I look in the corner, and he's moved. He's climbing.
He's climbing?
Tell me more about the bus people when you wave to them.
He's climbing?
Into my head, see? But I give a shout and I lash out with my fist. And he goes back in the corner.
But it doesn't speak.
Oh, yes. He says things very quiet. But I hear them and I repeat them. Things I couldn't possibly know off my own bat. And people start talking about me, I'm in second sight. And that's how that Mrs. Amos got word of it and carted me off to make a bit of dough. But I've always got to fight. That shadow's moved nearer still. See?
I think you'd better get out of this place and come to London with me.
Oh, there's nothing to worry about. I'm going to go home with my pocket full of pound notes. And then I'm going to show them round in the local. And one of these days I'm going to be chairman of the Drapers Association. Everything's okay. I'm telling you. Everything's okay. Oh, stay with me, will you stay, please? Stay with me.
Phil. Oh, my darling boy. Oh, Phil, don't cry. Phil.
What did you call me then?
Are you better, dear? Won't you lie down?
What did you call me?
Phil, dear.
But I'm not Phil.
Oh, no, of course you're not. Phil's dead. But when you fell forward then, I thought you were Phil. I mean, you just were.
No!
And you're not in the least like him. Oh, dear. And yet, I think perfectly well.
Time's getting on. Isn't the boat back?
Oh, I hadn't heard it. I'll catch my train, won't I?
If the boat leaves within 10 minutes.
I'm going with her.
With me? Oh, I'm so glad. I know you'll be doing the right thing.
You've changed your mind?
I can't stay.
The boat's late. You realise that, don't you?
I don't mind missing the train. So long as that boat gets me away from here before it's dark. That's all I want now.
He tore upstairs to get his luggage. Nearly knocked Gwen and me over. Then we went out to see if we could see any signs of the boat. We were getting a bit anxious ourselves.
And I went to my room. I heard Christine take up the telephone, but I was too sick with disappointment to look at her. If I had, I would have been startled. Standing there in the twilight, she had the bright eyes and the flushed cheeks and staccato movements of a woman who had gone mad.
Secretary, and ask her to bring all the papers, will you?
Yes, wonderful news.
Can you tell, Alwyn?
I've been waiting and working for months, and, well, here we are.
Well, my husband, he arrives back tonight. Oh, it's exciting for me, of course, but it's pretty exciting for you, Orwin.
And for everybody. Because he's the first back. The first of millions and millions, all the knots you can find.
You'll do that, Orwin, won't you? Goodbye. Goodbye. It'll be my secretary. I can tell him myself. Yes? Oh, yes, Megan. It's my maid. Why isn't she back? Yes? Oh, but why not? Well, all I can say is it's very silly of you and your father. And Mr. Henting, yes, my husband, will be very hurt.
What's the number?
What? Oh, Abercover's 27 is the maid's cousin. They'll know where they are. Goodbye. The maid just rang to say that she and her father are too frightened to come back tonight, if you please, and may be here in the morning. Oh, isn't it ridiculous?
The boat isn't coming back?
No. One mustn't forget that they're Welsh, of course, and absurdly superstitious.
Haven't you got another boat on this side?
It's the other side being repaired. I've run her up, Lionel.
Who?
My secretary. She's going to tell all the papers, and it'll be on the Midnight News. Return of Philip Henting.
He's back, Lionel. Philip's back. We'll put on his favourite tune, Harmony for False Lovers. Remember?
No, stop her! Stop her!
He plays the piano himself and then sings. One of the few records he made. You listen.
No!
Look! He's losing consciousness.
His hands are stiffening. It's the same catalepsy as before.
Lionel, I beg of you to realize that this isn't a scientific experiment anymore. I swear to you, we're in terrible danger, all of us. Wake him up and telephone for another boat. Wake him up!
His eyes are sealed close. It might
kill him. Oh, I'm so excited. Listen.
But isn't this the record? It hasn't got his voice, has it?
Yes, I told you. In a minute. Now listen.
Have you missed me? So it seems. Have you kissed me in your dreams? Have you held me in your...
No! You've broken it! His voice is on the floor. His voice is in a dozen pieces.
It was the only thing to do. Now wake him.
Wait a minute. Something's happening. I can hear something.
Voice of a dead man echoing and re-echoing through the room.
Could you or I get a soul to believe we heard that?
Or to believe that we sat in a corner of that room and watched the moon rise outside the window, huddled like castaways on a strange shore, with Christine asleep in our midst, mercifully unconscious from a sleeping draught I'd had the presence of mind to give her.
Gwan seemed to be the calmest of us all. She was playing patience.
So she was.
We can only wait.
Go on, Juan.
Yes, please, do go on.
There's a sort of monkey tree over there against the stables, behind the tennis court. Crithin brought it from Turkey as a joke.
Oh, that's no use either. Tonight even those things aren't real.
What things, dear?
The monkey tree, the stables, the tennis courts. They're shadows. Only the other is real.
What other?
Whatever's waiting for us. Outside that door.
Gwen, where are you going?
You're not going to open the door.
No, I'm going to the window.
Well?
He's still there.
He?
a little shopkeeper, crouched against one of the statues, staring into the water.
And in the archway?
The cat. And the shadow of the cat.
Nothing else?
Nothing else. I'm sorry for our little shopkeeper.
Read some more.
You're a strange girl.
People do the strangest things. Criminals when they're going to be hanged at dawn, for instance.
What do you mean? Why do you say that?
Because I'm the only one who may not come out of this.
But aren't you terrified?
It's no good being terrified. If I run away from this now, it will be there again tomorrow in the sun. I realized that once and for all when I heard his voice. Will you kiss me? I'm alive. You told me. Flesh and blood. My mouth's frozen. I'm sorry.
So's mine. It was a poor lover's kiss. Shh! What was that?
Did you hear something?
I thought I did.
So did I.
It's from this side.
Is it the Welshman?
Well, that wasn't human.
You were right. It's only the cat.
I thought I recognized it. I'm all right with something I can recognize. But I heard it before.
When?
Last night. That was the cry I heard, which made me leave you all and go downstairs. I didn't realize.
Was that just before you saw what you saw?
Yes.
Don't open the door.
Stop her.
Where are you going?
I've always been afraid of the dark, but not now. Because I can't stay in this room. I don't fit into it either. We can only pray for God to forgive us and deliver us.
I'm all right, Bill. I'll call if I need you.
The cat?
Pressed against one of the statues. Feet together. Its back arched right up. I can see the spiky fur against the water.
The Welshman. Is he still staring at the water?
He's turned his head.
And looking at the archway, isn't he?
Yes. He's heard the cat crying.
Do you want me?
No. The cat's run away.
And in the archway? There's somebody standing in the archway, isn't there?
Looking up at this window. The Welshman's getting up. He's stiff from crouching so long. He's sort of limping across the grass.
To the archway?
As if he was sleepwalking.
Oh, he'll be killed. Call to him.
It's too late. He's reached.
What is it?
It's all swimmy. I can't see properly. It's as if they're melting into each other. I can't see. I think you'd better go upstairs.
What do you mean?
It's moving across the lawn.
Towards the house?
Towards us. I don't know how long we've got. I don't know that we're able to deal in minutes anymore.
There's nothing we can do. Nothing.
I've always known that this would come in the end.
Don't touch him. Is he asleep?
He's in a trance. Can you see the sweat on his forehead?
Bill, don't touch him.
He's moving towards you. He must be stopped.
Move the armchair round so it's in his way. He may sit in it. I thought so.
Don't move, either of you. I'm to get that stool and sit opposite him and talk to him. Leave it to me. There's something you want to say? Try again.
Up. Up.
Lionel, help me, will you?
You are anxious to say something. You are not able to say it because you are not quite sure who you are. You are nearly sure that you are Philip Henty, but not quite. You have a tiny doubt that you may be a man who lives outside Cardiff. That is not so. You are the famous composer Philip Henty, and you are sitting in the chair in which you died. You are Philip Henty. You are Philip Henty. You are...
Oppie?
You are Philip Henty. You...
Piccola?
Go on, Lionel.
Does that convey anything to you?
Go on.
You have said one word which has been perfectly understood. It is an Italian word, but you are not an Italian. You are Philip Henty. You can say more words. They are waiting to be said.
Why? Why?
Yes. Don't be afraid.
Why, in God's name, have you shut all the windows? Is it a mild sort of joke?
They're open. Anyway, what sort of joke was that telegram?
It felt...
Go on.
It felt close for a split second, Piccola. Let's have a... split second, Piccola. Let's have a swizzle of Cointreau.
All right.
Swizzle of Cointreau. Sit down here. Never mind the creases in your dress. Do you know any dress? Do you know any reason why you shouldn't belong to me for the rest of your life?
Yes, I do. I couldn't answer you then, because before I could, you were dead. You're dead now. There is no reason why I should belong to you for the rest of my life. No reason. Either in this world or in yours. Because now that I've looked you in the eyes without fear, there is nothing you can do to me. I'm going to turn my back on you. And I'm never going to look round. Never.
You belong to me for the rest of your life. You belong...
Lionel!
Be quiet, you must be quiet.
To me for the rest of your life?
I know without your telling me. I woke up suddenly and I knew...
Don't turn your head.
He's here.
Don't look.
Philip, my darling, we've waited so long.
Don't touch him.
But he's going to speak. He's going to turn to me and say something. Oh, we've waited so long.
No, don't let him speak that.
Philip.
Don't touch him.
Speak to me, my darling. Speak to me.
Piccola.
I've heard that before, haven't I? In a dream.
Why, in God's name, have you shut all the windows? Is it a mild... sort of joke?
What is he saying? Why doesn't he know me? Speak to me, my darling. Tell him who it is.
Why, in God's name, have you shut all the windows? Is it a mild sort of joke?
No.
No joke? Mild sort of windows? God's name. Sort of creases. Piccola, don't look. Don't look so guilty, Piccola.
No, no!
Guilty, Piccola? Why should anybody find out about us, Piccola? You belong, Piccola, you belong to me for the rest of your life. Belong, life.
I'm still asleep, aren't I?
Christine, let me take you upstairs.
You didn't say that, Philip. Did you? Did you, Philip?
No, Mother. He didn't say anything. You were dreaming. Asleep and dreaming.
But why didn't he speak to me? Why didn't Philip speak to me?
It isn't Philip, Mother.
Don't talk nonsense. When he's sitting 2 feet away from me, and he didn't even look round at me. I've been waiting and waiting for months and months. like in a railway station meeting a train. But there's never been any train. And there never will be. Never. He didn't even look round at me.
Mother, come to bed.
And he did say all that. I heard him. And I remember now all sorts of things that should have made me guess. Oh, I can't bear it.
Christine.
Stop it. The pain's killing me. It's pressing down. Stop it. For 7 years you've been laughing at me behind my back. You've made a fool of me. And I realize it. Do you hear?
Don't touch him.
What right have you to make me suffer like what I'm suffering now? Answer me.
Answer me. Answer me. Answer me.
Lock her up. Oh, God.
What am I doing? Sitting in this chair. What have you all been doing to me?
Have his hands. I'll undo his collar.
I can't get my breath. Get me out of here. Give me some air.
What have I done? What have I done?
My wife. Get my wife.
I can see the gold filling in his mouth.
Let me feel his pulse.
What happened? What's happened?
He's dead.
Did you hear it? It's the boat. It's morning.
What happened? I don't know what happened.
You were asleep, Mother.
Yes. Yes, I was, wasn't I? On that sofa. And then I dreamt he was Philip. Oh, it was horrible. And I've killed him.
If you want to keep your sanity, you must forget it. Do you hear?
You warned me not to go on with it, didn't you? Everybody warned me. But I wouldn't listen. I've always had my own way. I'm ill, Lionel.
You've been ill for 4 months. I blame myself bitterly for not having faced that fact. But you realize you're ill. That means you'll get better.
Yes. I'll get better. But nothing can ever put that right. I wouldn't listen.
In Trespass, a ghost story by Emlyn Williams, Dewar was played by Glyn Owen, Bill by Alan Downer, Gwan by Anne Lloyd, Christine by Patricia Mort, Saviello was played by Ray Smith, Mrs. Amos by Rita Street, Mrs. Henting by Nesta Harris, Mr. Grice by Windsor Davis, and the maid was played by Juliet Keir. Trespass was produced by Herbert Davis and featured music by the Don Ellis Quintet. It was first broadcast on the BBC Welsh Home Service in November 1964.